sure if I'm on. Yeah, I have a green light. Can you hear me okay? Good morning. No? There we go. I think it's there. There we go. Well, I did, before we get going, I did just want to share a couple things. First of all, today, actually the month of May is a big celebration month for our family. And today in particular is one of those big celebration days because it is my wonderful daughter Gabrielle's birthday. She is 9 today. Happy birthday, my love. You are such a blessing and we are so thankful. You are a gift from the Lord to us. So we love you so much. And I love that you're a part of leading worship on Sundays and looking forward to celebrating you further today. So happy birthday. And the other thing I don't know how to really announce this, but I am going to share this. When we first came here last June, it was the middle of June that we came, and we were planning to be here on a short-term interim position. Possibly, we were talking about 3 months and kind of take it month by month from there because there were a number of things I was looking at. But the Lord has extended our time a lot more than those 3 months, and we are in our 11th month right now of being here. And it has been wonderful to be able to be here to grow, to learn, to love, and get to know our fellow believers here in this body of Christ. The Lord is moving us on. He's opened some doors for us to be a part of Gateway Church. So we are going to be transitioning in the next, I don't want to say number of weeks. We're not quite sure. We're in the middle of selling our house right now. And so I just want to let you know, we welcome your prayers for our lives, for our futures, and also I encourage you to pray for the next pastor that the Lord would bring here. And as I am doing, we've seen the Lord work in so many ways this past year, and I really believe the Lord is going to continue to move in this place. The amount of people that I've heard say that when they walk into this building that they have a sense of peace, and I've heard many of even your testimonies of how this church has been a lighthouse to their lives, to their souls, and I really believe this body, like every church, is to be a lampstand for the gospel. So I encourage you to continue the thing. If you've been able to learn anything from me, I encourage you to be able to take on that torch and keep on running with it. And know that we love you. We're always here, and we look forward to coming back and visiting. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. This morning, we are talking about the topic of why we believe, and I'm excited to be able to share this message. And also, we're going to actually open it up in a bit of a testimony time. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we go any further, let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for all that you have and are doing in our lives, in each one of us. Lord, I thank you for each individual person here. Lord, thank you that you know every part of our lives, Lord. The things that people see, the things that people don't see, the unknown things, Lord, the secret things of our hearts, Lord. You know every part, just as you know every hair on our heads, and you walk with us through this journey of life, Lord, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. Lord, you are the reason that we live. You're the one that gives us strength, Lord. And thank you for all that you have done through the cross and through the resurrection, Lord, that you have given us your strength. Lord, you have taken on our sin. Lord, you have been found guilty when you were innocent because we are guilty, and that you call us innocent. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for your resurrection power that has worked in our lives, in our spirits, that you've changed us, in our minds, that we get to grow in you. And Lord, even physically, Lord, that you overcame the physical grave, and that you can overcome any obstacle that we have in our way. Lord, we welcome you into this place today to be able to hear from your word. We thank you for your word that guides and directs us. Lord, thank you for giving us life. We worship you this morning as a body of Christ in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A minister told his congregation, he said, "Next week, I plan to preach on the sin of lying. To help me help you understand my sermon, I want you to all read Mark chapter 17. The following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, the minister asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many have read Mark 17. And several hands went up. The minister smiled and said, "Mark only has 16 chapters. I will now proceed with my sermon on the sin of lying." I just wanted to tell a joke before. It has nothing to do with our message, the message this morning. Isn't that a good one? Well, I am excited to be able to speak on why we believe. Having been through Easter, and I truly have been praying for a new revelation for myself and for each one of us, that we would have a new revelation of what Jesus has done for us through his death and resurrection. And I truly hope that a faith has come alive in us, or maybe been reborn in us, maybe that wasn't even there before. We've looked at the power of resurrection, how Jesus resurrected physically from the grave, and the power that existed at that time. And last week, I mentioned the power of salvation and how I related it to a light bulb. If you remember me saying that last week, how do you explain a light bulb to someone who has never, ever seen a light bulb? And even more so, how do you explain electricity without knowing or ever hearing the mathematical equation of how electricity is formed? Imagine the generations before us that never experienced what we have in this generation, right? Even to the point where I don't know if you could really get someone, if Back to the Future was real, if you could truly go back and try to explain, you ever seen the movie Back to the Future? If that actually happened, I don't know if you could actually physically explain. People would think you're crazy if you tried to explain electricity. Now, of course, if you know, you could show them and all that kind of stuff, right? And that's the point. You could show them. And people would probably believe if they saw that light bulb for themselves. So I ask you this morning, why do you believe? Why do you believe in Jesus? What was something that came alive in you? Do you remember that time where Christ became a reality in your life? Have you ever had a time where it was like a flip of a switch, like a light bulb came on, and you just understood, or you read the Bible, some scripture, and you might have even read those scriptures a number of times before, but they came alive. There was understanding that wasn't there before. Do you remember a time when that happened in your life? Now, I said this before, but I want to, near the end of this message, open the congregation. I'm going to pass around a mic for us to be able to share, even if it's 5 seconds, maybe 20 seconds, of a time when that happened to you. Some kind of form of testimony, whether it's been this week, this year, years ago, sometime in your life. I want to hear from you. just a very, very short testimony. Because I really believe that that's a connection to why we believe. We're going to talk about it in our points this morning. So let's, before we go any further, let's read John chapter 9. I don't have it on PowerPoint, so if you have Bibles this morning, you can look it up in your Bibles. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. And let's read John chapter 9. And we're going to be reading a lot of this chapter, starting from verse 1. John chapter 9, verse 1 is our text. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, he must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." That word means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. It goes on, and the Pharisees investigate the healing. In verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" "We know he is your son," the parents answered. "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how can he see now, or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. This was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then he asked, "What did he do for you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as far as this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly men, man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. I think we'll stop there. This is the reading of the Lord. Isn't that a good scripture? There are so many, I want to say fun things within this scripture that I love. Well, a few weeks ago, we looked at how the disciples were changed by the resurrection. They walked with Jesus, they knew Jesus, they saw the incredible miracles. But once Jesus was resurrected from the dead, there was like a fire that set them, that became alive, right? And they preached to the whole world. Nothing stood in their way. But can you imagine how powerful your story would be if you were the one that was healed of blindness? Now, not all of us here have experienced miracles of how God has healed us physically, though some of you have. But I know that we are all walking miracles of how God has changed our lives. The visible changes, the answers to prayer in your life, they're evidence that God is real, that God really does exist. And we learn to recognize how God is working in our lives. As we do this, it forms in us why we believe. And we need to take time, moments, and remember all that God has done for us. His faithfulness never leaves us. Amen? Now let's see what we can learn from the healing of this blind man and how, and about the way we can share the life of the story of God's glory and how our experience in this life of God, they form a foundation of why we believe in God. And this brings us to point number one. And there are, you can take notes in the back of your bulletin if you have a bulletin this morning. Again, I have 3 points. Point number one is think about your experiences. How do we balance our experience with the rest of our faith journey? Is it right for us to feel like we get stronger when we see God move in our life? Or does God want us to have a deep faith in him that even if we can't see something happening or if we even don't feel something happening, we still trust him. We still know that he is alive and real and working in our life. As Christians, it's good to get into the habit to know and to see where God is working in our lives. And it might be, again, big miracles, or it might be the small answers to prayer. It might be the way God opens doors or protects us or comforts us in difficult times. It might be unexplainable joy or peace. Again, open doors, closed doors. Maybe the Lord changed your plans and you saw him through those changed plans. Or maybe it was how God brought someone unexpected into your life. Maybe it was how the Lord took away loneliness in your life or healed a hurt that you thought was impossible to overcome. Or how God gave you strength through the hardest of times. When I say that, are there things that pop into your mind? Because I can think of many, many, many. I mean, the first one that comes to my mind is when I was traveling. I just had finished a 3-month. I was helping with a music tour in the States, and I got home to I went home to my parents in Markdale on a Friday, and I was visiting them for the weekend, and I wasn't quite sure what was my next step. And then I happened to walk into a small Baptist church in Flesherton of about 20 people, and lo and behold, I crossed paths with this wonderful, beautiful worship leader. She was leading worship at the time. She was singing. And she caught my eye. And yes, it is Danielle. Just to take anything away. And how 13 months later, we were married. It's a wonderful time, and the Lord has changed and worked so many things through my life. Before that, I was praying. I was seeking the Lord. And God, through his miracle-working power, brought her into my life. But I'm sure we can think of time after time after time. Now, when we recognize and acknowledge that God is working in our lives, we honor him and we develop our faith through these things. They become pieces of our story and it becomes powerful because God wants to do great things through our lives. You can talk about how God is working in your life. It's a form of evidence to your friends around you even that your faith is real. Now, when I was in Bible college, I went to Bible college in Oklahoma. There was a man from another church in Tulsa who was at a Sunday night service who was talking about his experience of when God changed his life. And it was a story, a testimony that I will always remember. And it was how there was a girl who was born in the same small town as him that he knew, he went to kindergarten with all through high school. And they were in class. They knew each other. They weren't necessarily friends. But he actually talked about when he was in kindergarten, she had glasses, as he said, as big as Coke bottles. That makes sense. That's what he said. And how he used to steal her glasses and laugh as she'd run into walls. And she was born this way. She had terrible vision. And this girl, they grew up in the same area, grew up through all the way through high school. And when they were in grade 12, he was not following the Lord. But he was at this church service. It was another Sunday night church service where his parents made him go. And he was just like, whatever, I just want this to end. But at the end of that service, the pastor said, there's someone who is blind, who is next to blindness. And he called her up to the front and said, the Lord wants to heal you. So he prayed for it. And this caught this guy's attention because he's like, yeah, whatever. There is going to be no power here. There's no way. I mean, I know that girl's born blind. I remember stealing her glasses and laughing at her. And that man prayed for her, and she was instantly, miraculously healed of blindness. She didn't have to wear glasses. And something, the Lord moved in his heart so much that he became the most on-fire person in his high school. He was actually a youth pastor at one of the largest churches in Oklahoma at the time. And I was amazed at how the Lord radically changed his life. It reminded me of, well, lots of things. The power of resurrection, but it actually reminded me of the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Of how he used to hate Christians, went about killing them, and then the Lord appeared to him and changed his life. He was set on fire. So again, this is point number one. Think about your experiences and never forget them. Write them down. Journal about them. Tell people about them. Now, obviously, that was a big one for that man, for that girl. Can you imagine? But even the small things. I'm sure we could just spend, you know, I won't say weeks, sharing testimonies of how the Lord has moved in our lives. But moving on to point number two, be prepared to share. Now, this can be a difficult one. Or it actually could be really fun and easy. But even when the beggar was questioned a second time, he continued to say that Jesus had done something incredible in his life. He wouldn't waver from his account of what had happened. And we can learn a lot about this passage, about boldness, to tell others what God has done in their life. So I ask, how has your spiritual life been influenced by the stories you've heard from friends, from family members, or other Christians? Why are those stories such a powerful way to find deeper faith in God? Maybe it was a relative that brought you to the Lord, or a friend telling you about Jesus. Well, as we experience moments when God does something in our life, that we can share the joy and we can celebrate with others. We can tell of what God is doing in our lives. Now, people are sometimes skeptical. People that maybe have never gone to church are skeptical about, I want to say, religion. If they've never been to church, they're skeptical about church, right? But we are, our lives are walking, living testimonies of God's love and power. And it's for people to see. It's the evidence, again, that God is real, that he's moving. Your friends can see the transformation in your life. And God can be revealed through those transformations, through those changes. And while people may argue what the Bible says or who God is, it's tough to dispute when God does something. Right? When it comes to the truth of the Bible, it's good to learn that as well. A couple weeks ago, I read the testimony of Lee Strobel, former atheist turned Christian. I love how he ended that article. He said it was a powerful statement. The article was "How Easter Killed My Faith in Atheism." And he ends that saying, "Not because I became a Christian, not because of wishful thinking, the fear of death, or the need for a psychological crutch, but because of the facts." And the amazing fact is that all the Old Testament prophecies that were describing our Messiah's life came true over a span of hundreds of years. It helps underscore who Jesus claimed to be. There were more than 300 Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. There's something about prophecy that's hard to fabricate. You remember the story I told, last month about Pastor Robert Morris, when he had a revelation of someone's life in a restaurant, and he went up, never met the man, he was the bodybuilder, and God told him about something. That is impossible to fabricate. And when you see God show up in that way, it becomes a testimony for everyone to see. Because God is alive and real, and his power of resurrection lives in and through us. But even when it does, the evidence can still be unconvincing to many. And I do believe that there's many people that surround us day by day that if they knew what we know about the gospel of Christ, they would choose to believe also, and they would be fired up about who Jesus is. But how can they know if they never hear? If we never tell them? Amen? We need to be bold. We need to set ourselves aside. We need to share faith with people around us and make it natural. Most people don't share their faith because they think that it's not their business to meddle in their friends' spiritual beliefs. They treat these spiritual conversations as inappropriate or intrusive. But actually, evangelism is going on a deep, a desperate search and rescue mission. It's about reaching into the lives with Jesus' his grace and with his truth, the very rescue that people need. May we never forget the miracle of the gift of salvation that we receive. That's the most powerful gift that could ever be on the face of the earth. It exists because of what Jesus has done. Just like we talked about, Jesus didn't just cover our sins, he wiped them away. That is incredible power. And it will change the direction of people's lives. And I'm amazed at testimony after testimony of people that I've met in my young life, of how they were changed. They once were this way, and God changed them to a completely different direction. Just like on Remembrance Day, may we never forget the freedom that people have fought so hard for, willing to give up their lives for another. What better cause than the gospel? Again, people love to hear a good love story. How did you fall in love with Jesus? Now, you might find that difficult to share. How did you fall in love with your spouse? If you're married, how did that happen? I love hearing those stories. How did you meet? That's awesome. But it's no different with the Lord. By us coming to church, by learning, by taking in what we have learned, by breathing in the breath of God, then each one of us going back to our communities and our workplaces and families and our friends and learning to exhale the gospel naturally through our lives. It becomes powerful, yet subtle. But we become the hands and feet of Jesus, what God has done. Do you know what makes for an interesting conversation? At least I've found this. Is telling people that I love church. People are not used to hearing that. That is like, wait, what did you say? That's right. I'm telling you, I love church. I never wanted to be a pastor. I'm not a pastor because I want to be in the pulpit. But I love Jesus. And somewhere along the line, I became the first one that showed up and the last one to leave. And somewhere along the line, someone said, hey, you should be a pastor. It overflowed from my life. And you can do this anywhere. I remember working in a secular place where he was like, hey, JP, you want to come to the, I better not say that. You want to come out to this place with me? It was a terrible place. And I said, how about you come to church with me on Sunday? And he was just like, wait, what? I'm like, man, church is the place to be at. Amen? And may I say, it's the most wonderful place to meet your spouse. Okay, where am I? Church, SSS, thank you. If I get talking about Danielle, I get distracted, you know. We need to stand firm and not be ashamed of what God has done and given us. Amen? And sharing the gospel can be as simple, it needs to be as simple as, I once was blind, but now I see. That's it. That's a testimony in itself. People will respect that. If we respect them and want to share the love of Christ. People might think that I'm weird for being in love with my God. But I think they're weird for not. So, you know, that's okay. The only thing that will matter is Christ. And did we live for him? We need people to see that a life without Jesus is like a car without an engine or a cell phone without a service provider. young people and old, every age, they're hungering and thirsting for what Jesus, at the core of every human, it needs to be, it can be filled with things temporarily. But the only thing that can truly, fully, permanently satisfy us and fill that hole is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need people all around us to see that it's a relationship with Jesus that gives us hope in life, both now and forever. Greg Stier, speaking on evangelism, I love this quote. Evangelism isn't about standing on a street corner with a bullhorn yelling, repent. It's about helping their friends fill that invisible and unquenchable need for God by sharing the gospel with them. We all make decisions in life, and some are easier than others. And what's fascinating is God has created all of us with a sense of right and wrong. Even people who aren't Christians have this. It's one of the evidences that God exists and loves humanity. We all have a sense of right and wrong, and people's reactions will be based on this. Again, why it's so important to, for us as the church to be strong and wavering in belief, so that the seeds of the gospel can be sown in people's lives and the harvest will be reaped. Sow seeds everywhere we go. This is why God tells us in Romans 2:15 that his laws are written on everyone's hearts. Did I talk about point number three? I think I kind of did. It was be ready for people's reactions. I didn't say it, did I? I skipped it. Danielle distracted me again. But the miracle caused division amongst the religious leaders over the question who Jesus was. And when they asked the beggar, they replied that he felt Jesus was a prophet. And when the Pharisees questioned the beggar's parents, they were afraid to answer because they were afraid they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. They were afraid of what would happen. And the Pharisees got angry with the man who wouldn't change his story a second time about what Jesus has done for him. And how could this man change his story? He's been born as blind his whole life. It's incredible. I'm getting distracted again, but now, I read a book, a testimony of another blind person in Africa where a missionary was praying for him, prayed for them 13 times in a row. And all of a sudden this man realized he was born without retinas. So he said, Lord, we need a creative miracle. I pray that this baby would be healed. Because he was at the age where he wouldn't be living with his mother, have his mother's care. He would end up having to live on the street. He'd become a beggar. And the Lord healed him. And the next day, he was playing soccer with his friends that he always grew up with. And they were just like, how did this happen? Let me end with this. The strength of our faith is rooted in the depth of knowing Jesus as Christ, Jesus as our Savior. And how can we give away what we haven't experienced ourselves? So I encourage you, come to the Lord with faith. Hebrews 1:1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. And Hebrews 1:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. Amen? Let's give God the praise for every little thing. I know time-wise, again, on the first Sunday, Caroline, if it's okay for me to just open up this time, I'd like us, normally we share after live streaming is done and after the service, but I just want to take this time and be able to share a few testimonies. If so, Just real quick, I'd love to hear, just even if it's 5 seconds, a quick thing. If we can't get a mic to you, just yell it out. Who has something where they have seen God move sometime in their life? I want to give...
All I want to say is I came to this church 36 years ago, and I knew Christ when I was 8 years old, but I don't think I ever talked to him, not really. And when I came at 36, I got right into the churchy thing that you go to prayer meeting and all this. One of these prayer meetings was held on a Wednesday night in a backyard with my pastor and a few other parishioners. Something really hit me. I'm a sinner. And it really came out, and oh boy, did I feel bad. I felt just terrible. And I had sinned against a friend, so I thought. The friend didn't know. But I had to apologize. Oh, I was going nuts. I couldn't wait. I wanted to get it over and done with. And I hadn't been here all that long, a couple of years, but only in the church, a matter of months maybe. Well, after that prayer meeting, I had to run to that person's place. I didn't have a vehicle. I had to get there. I had to get to her place, and I had to apologize. And I'll tell you, from that point on in this church, I am now 74, not 36 anymore. Every time I've been here, every person I've talked to, and all the pastors we've been through, I have learned, and I am still learning even from this man here. And I have learned continuously, and where I was seeing black and white back in that pastor's backyard, just black and white, no gray areas. Everybody has to be good or bad. I mean, you can't be one or the other. And I learned, and I learned, and I learned, and I'm still learning, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I don't know, this is God definitely working within me, working through others to get to me and saying, I always say, give me a smack at the side of the head. And he never does. But all these people are telling me what I'm doing wrong, so okay. That could be it. But I'm, you know, he also tells me quite a bit. But I just wanted to share that and just saying, the church is not a venue. It is not a building. The church is us. The church is within all of us.
Amen.
And that's where the church is and will die with everybody, whether it be in this building, whether it be outside in the backyard. It's, you know, it's just right there. Thank you.
Amen. We just have time for a few. Is there anyone else that would like to share?
Is it on?
Yes.
Well, I grew up in the church, and I accepted the Lord when I was at Pioneer Camp. I was probably about, 12 or something like that. But I never really, I went to church and went home and just lived an ordinary life. But in my 60s, I was diagnosed with cancer. And that was the first time I thought, I can't do anything about this myself. I have to give it to the Lord, and it was the first time that I put my whole trust in the Lord. And there was a peace. I had a peace during that time. I know the Lord was with me, and look at me today. I'm a cancer survivor.
Amen.
Thank you.
Great testimony.
Two names come to mind, and I received Jesus as my Savior when I was 10. But in my teen years, I was upset with God over something, and in my prayer to Him, praying to Him, I said, I don't want you in my life anymore. And for two Sundays, Pastor Gary was preaching on Joshua, the book of Joshua. And I don't remember anything he said only that it was in Joshua, and I could feel God just hitting me one after another, lovingly. It wasn't hard. And I finally, after about a couple of weeks of struggling, I finally surrendered and said, Lord, I can't do this without you. And then all through my life, when I was younger, Ruth Stops, I would go to visit her. And I'd get angry with her. I'd go home to my mom and say, oh, I'm just so angry with Ruth. Because every time I'd get here, she'd be up here pulling me up in my Christian walk. So I just want to thank Gary and Ruth for what they've done in my life. Thank you. Through Christ.
Absolutely. One more? Is there anyone who's just itching to share? All right.
Quite a few years ago, I was doing my meditation in the morning before I went out on the bus run, and God called me into the ministry. I couldn't believe it. For weeks after that, I argued with him. I told him, I'm not intelligent enough to do this. I wasn't very good in school. I argued with him every night. And every morning after I argued with him, he provided the answer in my meditation. Until finally one night, I laid in bed and I cried my eyes out. And I told the Lord that I would do what he wanted and go where he wanted. And that changed my whole life. Because I was more worried about providing sermons and everything. But for 10 years, when I preached down in Whitechurch, he provided a sermon for me every week for every Sunday. And that changed me. Thank you to the Lord.
Amen. God is with us through every step that we take, but he is calling us to a higher level in him. And thank you, Jesus, that his grace covers every mistake, past, present, future, that God walks with us, that we are made new in him. And that's how we can take communion. We can always be thankful for what God has done. And we can give him the glory. If you have communion cups at this time. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the body, the bread, and broke it. And said, in this body is broken for you. Take and eat of it and remember me. Let's eat now. Jesus also took the cup and he said, in this cup is the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant we were talking about last week, where Jesus has not just covered our sins, but completely forgets them. We are made new in him. Let's drink together. Lord, we are so thankful for all that you have done for us. Lord, thank you for going to the cross. We continue to celebrate that. Lord, thank you for working in our lives. Lord, thank you for the big miracles and the small answers to prayer. Lord, thank you for opening doors, for protecting us, for comforting us in difficult times. Lord, thank you that you are always with us, that you walk with us, that you carry us when we need to be carried. Lord, thank you that you are working in our lives, Lord, and we honor you. We We worship you. We come to you. We wake up every morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for life. Lord, we want to live for you. Lord, use us to share your word with those around us, to be a testimony, for our lives to be a light. Lord, thank you for this church, that it is a beacon of light in this community to all those that are around. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.